Wayfair's big sale is returning. Get ready for Way Day. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. From October 26th through 29th, score Wayfair's best deals, like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So mark your calendar and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Help keep our community safe and healthy during National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, October 25th. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent drug misuse before it starts.
Welcome to another episode of the Bamature Hour. On this episode, this is upon further review of the Alabama shocking loss to FSU. Festivus comes early. Christmas is canceled. Alabama season is on the brink. And in the Festivus spirit, we're going to have an airing of grievances. We're going to go over 10 plays that determine the outcome of Bama. And we're going to do silver linings. I'm Bama John. Today is Monday, September 1st, 2025, in the year of our Lord. The calendar turns. We're heading towards fall. It is football season. And Alabama took a tough, bad first step on this 12-step season. I want to say to all of you, thank you for tuning in. We now have over 3,800 subscribers on our YouTube channel growing. Today I'm joined by Will K., Dr. T, and Gary G. Money. All right, guys, it's Festivus time. We're going to air our grievances. But first, Will K., welcome back to the podcast. You are actually in Tallahassee for that debacle. Fire away.
It's debover. It's DEFCON 1. The nukes are in the air. It's time to hit the red panic button. I was looking at my text thread with some of my friends who weren't there after the first drive. 9 minutes, just run it down their throat. We go down there and score. I texted my friends, national champions, after that drive, and then about an hour goes by, nothing said, and then the very next text in that thread is, we're done, it's over, a complete 180. And it started raining in the second quarter, and we were down 17-7, and I literally thought I was in the Twilight Zone there for a little bit. Not good, not very good at all, but a lot to go through.
All right, that's grievance number one, Dr. T. Grievance number one, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, guys. wow, huh? Wow. So, yeah, Will, 7 minutes in, I thought, boom, boy, number 19, boy. And yeah. And then not so fast, my friend, in honor of Lee Corso. Wow. I don't know, guys. I'm dumbfounded. I mean, I drank the Kool-Aid this summer. I drank it hard. And everyone told me, from Josh Pate to ESPN talking heads, everyone told me how good we were. And I bought it, man. But I forgot we still have the same coaches who caused those monumental collapses last year. So,
G Money, first grievance, jump in.
Well, I'm at the rec center coming live from the university. And I could say, Will, apparently the guys on your group text were actually watching the game. you know, we talk about the first drive. We had 55 yards on that drive. The remainder of the game, we had less than 30 more. Just unbelievable. You know, you ought to take what the defense gives you when we're on offense. I'm not sure they gave us anything, but we certainly didn't take much.
To that point, we gave up running the ball. After our third series in the first half and we're down, we quit running the ball. We were like 70-80% passes, and it wasn't time to panic yet. It was only 17-7. What the heck? So to that point, we got to run the ball. We got to impose our will. I mean, they were teeing off on our quarterback because we weren't running the ball. We went pass happy. I was all excited about Ryan Grubb. Now I really question it. What the heck? Okay.
Can I jump in?
Yeah, well, please do it. No, no, go. G-Money, jump in.
I've just tried to think of an analogy, right? And we said, all four of us have said, we've got the players, and I still believe we do. This reminded me a little bit of 2022 with Bryce Young. And we had J.C. Latham who went in the first round. We had Tyler Steen who went to the Eagles. We had good players. We gave up 33 sacks that season. And, you know, Bryce, he's a great runner, but he was running for his life many games. That's what it looked like. It's like we've got the players, but they can't play together and they can't block on offensive line. It was just painful.
Yeah. How does Pro Football Forecast or Focus have Proctor as like the number one tackle off the board? I'm like, dude,
what does that tell you? What does that tell you though? What does that tell you?
Right. Coaching.
Yep.
Coaching, scheme, play calling, all of the above. That was ugly. Ugly. Will Kay, you were gonna say something. Jump in.
Once again, the can't stop a running quarterback, the jet sweep, any kind of misdirection. I mean, we just cannot stop it to save our life. Cannot stop it, and it's very frustrating. Gus Malzahn strikes again. I mean, he's back in my nightmares, having another flashback there, Gary, that you said I couldn't have. But I will say that a lot of people are getting on Ty Simpson. He threw for 250 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 0 turnovers. Now, he threw the ball 40 times and only completed it 23 times, but I don't think that benching him is the solution. We went down into their territory 4 times and did not score. They muffed a punt, didn't capitalize on it, missed the field goal. The defense was the whole thing. If we don't keep it up, I mean, it could get really bad. It could get really, really bad. Looking at our schedule, we got a tough schedule. Georgia is still -4 against us at home. That might be like the lock of the year, just to sell the house, put the mortgage on Georgia at -4. I mean, what a joke. I mean, and we're still like, I don't know, fourth best odds to win the SEC. But that's all I have to say for now. We can get into some more stuff, but I'll give somebody else a chance to say something.
Okay, I'm going to jump in here. Kruger, you don't know how to run a company, for all you Seinfeld fans. And really, I've got to say, what the heck is Kane Womack doing? There's going to be a lot more I have to say about that. But how do you put 6 men in the box against a running RPO triple option Gus Malzahn team? What the heck are we doing? That was pitiful. Pitiful.
I think Kane's been working on his forehand too much.
He's banned. He cannot step foot on those courts between now and February. He's banned.
Hey, Kane, if I do see you out there, I'm just kidding, okay? I'm just kidding. You're giving nice forehand. But we got to work on that defense.
I mean, what the heck? Why do we not have 7 and 8 men in the box? I don't understand it. You have got to collapse the line. You've got to set the edge. It was just, have you not watched Gus Malzahn for the past 15 years and looked at every tape? And then they run the dang reverse twice and they hit it big both times. Okay, you hit it big once. We saw that play. How do we not say, look at this, guys, set the edge, be ready for this. Guy goes in motion. Why is the defense not talking to each other? Motion, motion, be ready for the reverse or the double reverse or the fake or any of that. I don't get it. I just, okay, that was my Festivus airing of grievance one on the defense. All right, who else wants to jump in on that one?
I'll just say even our elite players like Deontay Lawson on that long, long play by Lucas, he was not even in position to close that seam out. And it was just like we were out of position for the game that Malzahn played. And, yes, Will, you should have flashbacks because now you got another point in time that you can flash back to. Me too. Yeah. It's just tough to watch. We were concerned about our line, but our DBs didn't look great. The linebackers didn't have a great game. It was just like across the board, our defense just – and the most painful thing to me was their defense. Tony White came in there. He brought that defensive culture. We talked about that 3-3-5 that he runs. I mean, gosh, how effective were they?
Yeah.
But could we have made them less effective if we had run the ball more?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dr. T. I cut you off.
No, what's frustrating is that you hear the coaches talk about all summer and fall camp, how much they watch video and how much they've prepared for Florida State. And then it's like, what? I mean, what were you looking at? Florida State from 4 years ago? Because it's like, that's not, I mean, that reminded me of Nick Marshall. I think that's the quarterback Gus had when he played us.
Yeah.
That was just Auburn against Alabama back in when Gus was here. I mean, all you had to do is watch that film. And then I questioned today, Kane Womack says in his press conference that they had gone over all the proper things. They reviewed them all. They even watched the tape and were kind of confused on why they weren't covering the right things. And I'm thinking, so I guess that they're not communicating with the players well or not. It's mind boggling, really. I don't understand.
Hey, Gary, on that wheel route to Jalen Lucas, that South Carolina play. South Carolina ran that sad play, and the running back was uncovered. And there's no way Deontay Lawson can cover that guy. They've got to have somebody watching the back coming out on the wheel route. We got burned on that for a touchdown against South Carolina. Now, he didn't get the end zone, but, of course, they scored right after that. But we've seen that play before, and we didn't learn it. We didn't recognize it. We got toasted on that. That was okay. That's another one that I want to rave about. That's another grieving or an airing of a grievance was that play. That was awful. Okay, who wants to go next? Come on, let's get them out. Let's get our Festivus moments out.
I will say that I didn't want to actually think it, but my subconscious, like when I was down there, I was like, something doesn't feel right. Like I don't know. And I think the worst part about this is that their quarterback was chirping before the game. He was saying that Nick Saban, and he was right. And that's what makes it the worst, honestly. Maybe Florida State is good this year. I think they might be. I hope so. I hope that maybe, you know, first game, new quarterback, and Florida State actually is a contender in the ACC because that'll make us look better. I think that there were like Ryan Williams. He was a ghost. He was a poltergeist out there. He wasn't doing anything. Jeremy Bernard was great. He was really good.
I got that bold prediction right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
you did.
I don't even know where to start. There's so many mind-boggling things going on in my head right now.
We know they. Another question I have is: we have a true freshman. I think it's 3rd and 11 on their first drive. We have a true freshman, Dijon Lee, up on press coverage at 3rd and 11. I'm like, dude, what are we doing? You know, and they gave up a big pass there.
With no one over the top. I mean, Squire White's their fastest receiver, and they know Dijon White can't run with him. He didn't get any press. He didn't bump him. There was nothing to get him off the route. He had a free release going down there. And you could see that Castellanos immediately looked at him. He saw that matchup and he threw the ball. I think we blitzed on that play and the ball was long gone before we got there. He knew exactly what he had. He burned him. I cannot believe there was no one over the top. Press coverage, 3rd and 11. We get off the field there. And they end up scoring. I mean, that's one of my 10 plays that I'll go to later. But just pitiful. You know, a couple of things. I was wrong about their ability to go in the portal and rebuild this team quickly. Masterful job of getting good players, plugging them in, and then getting them ready over the summer. I mean, they didn't have long. Well, I thought our depth, I thought our experience, I thought all that was in our favor. And, boy, I was wrong on this. And eating a little crow there.
We are watching a 50,000-foot point, Bama John. We are watching the de-Sabanization of our program. And it's happened over slightly more than a year. We still got guys that he recruited, but his attention to detail, him instilling resilience and toughness and – you're just not seeing that right now. And it's, you know, I'm with Will. I look at that -4 and I'm like on the Georgia game. And I mean, it makes me excited that, you know, people that know a lot more than I ever will think we can do better, but I'm not seeing it. I mean, I'm not seeing it right now after that game.
Yeah. He is definitely on the hot seat 100%. I don't know how much room for error we have.
Not much.
No. But the only thing that makes us have more room from error is that this was not a conference loss. So if we lose two more games, we could still make the SEC championship. But of course, we have to be good enough to only lose two more games, and I don't know if we can do that.
And then we have to win the SEC championship to get the playoffs, because I think a three-loss team that goes to the SEC championship but loses is probably going to be left out, unless there's a lot of teams with three losses and you don't have.
And it was just a terrible week for Alabama. LSU won, looked good doing it. Auburn won, looked good doing it. Tennessee won, looked good doing it.
Hey, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Where do you know, we're watching football this weekend and we're seeing all these assistant coaches that Saban brought in, and he taught them the process, he taught them the system, and look at all the success they're having everywhere. Who on this panel thinks that Womack or Ryan Grubb are going to be a head coach in 3 or 4 years of a major program? Anybody?
Not after that performance.
Probably not.
Okay, I'm going to say the jury's out on Ryan Grubb. One game, and our defense was worse than our offense. Not that our offense was great, but the defense was worse. Kane Womack, he better change some things quickly or he needs to be gone. I don't think we can afford to fire Grubb. DeBoer. I think, guys, can we pay him $60 million and still have a collective? Where are we going to get the money? I think the economics of it are we may be stuck with DeBoer for another year or two. Where are they going to get the money to buy him out, pay that off, and still be able to pay players in this day and age where you have to pay to keep your best players? And as LSU, as Oklahoma, as Florida State, as Auburn have shown, you have to go in the portal and man up and bring in some top-level players. That seems to be working this year so far. We'll see how it goes the rest of the year. But right now, my theory that you can't buy a team and just go out and buy all these great players in the portal, if you get it right, apparently you can, because these teams are having success, and we're supposed to be junior, senior, laden, homegrown, and Clemson lost, and we lost, and I don't know that we can afford to fire DeBoer, but DeBoer may have to do exactly what Mike Norvell did, which is clean house. Get rid, at least on the defensive side, clean house. Go get some Sabanites. Go get some guys that are real. I mean, look at what Matt Patricia did to Texas. Wow.
Yeah.
He ran multiple schemes. He didn't give them one look. What the heck, Kane? Don't stick in just your 4-2-5 defense. Give them multiple looks. Do a 5-2. Do a 4-3. Get them confused. I didn't see any of that. They smoked us, and it was very distressing.
Well, and you mentioned Patricia. I mean, maybe we need to learn to play the portal game better. I mean, we're watching Julian saying and Caleb Downs, you know, making major plays for Ohio State. And it's like, hey, those are our guys. Maybe we need to start getting better at the portal game.
Yeah,
I've got a good question for all of y'all. Does Jalen Milroe win that game on Saturday?
No.
No.
No. I think he turns the ball over more. I think he makes some really bad plays. Now, he wouldn't have thrown the ball on that one where Simpson could have run it for a first down and he threw it at Ryan Williams' feet and we didn't convert that. But I think he would have made some really bad plays. And to Simpson's credit, you didn't get you got some bad negative plays, but no turnovers, no run across the line of scrimmage and throw the ball away. Don't take a safety. At least we didn't get that. I don't know, Will, maybe you disagree. Do you think Milroe could have won that game for us?
Well, I wasn't asking because I thought so. I just thought that was a good question to ask.
It is, and I don't think so.
All right, it was an okay question.
But I really don't know. I mean, Jalen Milroe being there doesn't make the defense play any better, right?
No.
So I don't know if he scores more than 31, so.
All right, guys, here's my next. I need to really air this grievance. No halftime adjustments. What the heck? What are we doing in the locker room? I saw nothing different. Matter of fact, we threw the ball more. That was the worst adjustment you could make. We abandoned the run. What the heck?
I think we're painting our nails at halftime and getting a new coat on the nails. Last year at Vanderbilt, I felt like there was no halftime adjustment either. So I think that might just be what we have in the coaching. We don't have the kind of coaches that can implement something new at halftime. I think it's going to be
what Saban was so great at.
Yeah, no, yeah.
We'd look bad, and then we'd come out the second half and just dominate the third quarter, and we would come away with it. And that's what Saban would never lose to a team that he was supposed to beat. I mean, I think he had two unranked losses, one of them UL Monroe, and then, you know, Texas A&M a few years ago. But he did not lose to bad teams. And Kalen DeBoer showed that he can do that a lot.
Go ahead.
I was just going to rephrase what Rick said. It's competence. It's competence. And I understand it's one game. We need to give Grubb a little bit of leeway after one game. But, I mean, if you start making top 10 lists of head coaches, DCs, OCs, there's not a Bama name on that list if you're making an honest list. When could we have said that before? I mean, when could we have said that before in the last, you know,
2006, maybe, when Shula was here?
Okay, that's fair.
Hey, think about this, guys. Saban, how many OCs did he? He lost his OC about every 2 to 3 years. Now, Kirby stayed for a long time, but then after that, DCs were gone every 2 to 3 years, yet he kept winning championship after championship. He had 10-win seasons every year. Nick Saban, okay, we appreciated you when you were here, and we appreciate you even more now. Unbelievable, and DeBoer's got to get this fixed, or he is going to be gone. He's got to upgrade, or those guys have to do a whole lot better the rest of the season.
Yep.
Well, and he had an elite team in Washington. I mean, I hate to make the Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan sort of comparison, but I don't know that we know how good of a head coach DeBoer is. I'm certainly not calling for him to be fired. That's why my focus was on the coordinators. But, you know, he had a really, really strong team, and obviously playing the schedule that they did in that conference maybe papered over some things. But, you know, I think the jury's still out on him.
Yeah, agreed. I'm starting to think maybe Michael Penix made him look better than he actually was. And if you look back at that year, every game that they played was a one-score game. Every game was close, and that was in the Pac-12, not the SEC. And then they got killed by Michigan in the national championship game. So maybe Michael Penix made him and Rome Odunze made him look better than he actually is.
He did beat Kirby Smart, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, that's pretty good. But
one good half.
Also lost one to 2-10 Mike Norvell.
I mean, at Washington, didn't he beat Kirby Smart at Washington though? No.
He beat Dan Texas. Lanning twice Texas. And Sark.
Yeah, he beat Texas.
Oh, he beat Sark. That's right.
Yeah. Yep.
And Dan Lanning twice.
But y'all, the players are kind of missing the tone of the room. Like, for instance, we're down, right? We score, and they start doing the crane. I'm like, guys, you're still behind 7 points on the road. You're playing awful. What are you doing the crane for? It's just like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. Yeah.
That's the coach coming out in you, Dr. T, Mr. Tennis Coach, right?
Yeah.
Let's celebrate you.
Who's got another grievance? I have one. We can't deal with dual threat quarterbacks. What the heck?
I think that's something that we've already kind of covered. So I'll say that is a grievance, but yes. I mean, just can't stop it, whoever it is. If you run the Vanderbilt offense against this Alabama defense, you will most likely win the football game. Cannot
sad.
Stop it.
That's so sad.
Guess what we got coming up, guys?
Cannot stop it at
guess
all.
What we got coming up? Gunnar Stockton. He can run.
Diego Pavia may
come into Vanderbilt.
We might lose to Vanderbilt again.
What happens if Diego Pavia comes in here and pulls the upset? Oh,
he's
my.
Fired. He is fine.
Bo Prabula, who I was not worried about at Missouri, is a dual threat quarterback, and he's got great legs. Joey Aguilar.
Let all the naysayers know. Let all the naysayers.
Blanket.
Hey, let me say this: if Vandy comes and beats us here, we're going to be raising $60 million somehow.
Yeah, he is gone. I mean, just look at our schedule. We might not make a bowl game if we can't stop the quarterback run, a mobile quarterback, because almost every game we have besides LSU is against a team that has a somewhat mobile quarterback.
Yeah, so Jackson Arnold's going to kill us.
However,
Nussmeier can't scramble, so at least
however,
we've got that with LSU.
I think that Kalen DeBoer showed that he's really good at home. I don't think we lose a game at home, but we might go 0-5 on the road. We might not win another road game.
Golly.
And I don't know. And
I think
that
qualifies as a grievance.
Yeah,
it does.
I think that, you know, we were going through our predictions. I went 11-1. I feel like an idiot. Maybe I should flip those.
Idiot, you idiot.
I mean, what was I thinking? I mean, because before the season, you can only go based off of paper. And we have a really good roster. You're thinking, oh, I mean, our DBs are back. We got Deontay Lawson back. Ty Simpson should be a game manager. He's got the best wide receiver core in the nation. Offensive line's really good. Everybody sucked. And you can't be a game manager when the rest of your team sucks. You can't be an A.J. McCarron or a Jake Coker without
or
a
Mac
Garrett
Jones
or an Amari Cooper, you know?
Hey, guys. So what did happen? I haven't watched the film. I haven't seen the game again. But the first drive, we looked unstoppable. I thought, man, oh my gosh. So did Florida State make adjustments, or did Ryan Grubb say, hey, that was too boring and too easy, I'm going to change that? I mean, what happened?
I don't know.
Second drive, we go down and we get into field goal range. We miss the 53-yard field goal. And then after that, we come out and we go 3-and-out, and it's pass, run, pass, instead of run, 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 or run, run, pass. And then the passes were not effective. Quick hitters, get the ball, 1, 3, 5. Just do something quick to get the stuff in space. And we started going for these longer kind of pass plays. I didn't see much play action. It was all out of the shotgun. And we didn't get anywhere, and it's like we abandoned it, and I didn't understand it. It makes no sense to me.
Today I heard Paul Feinbaum and Stephen A. Smith using the same words over and over again of soft, no effort. I'm like, that hurts so bad to hear that. It's like, dang, but that's really true. It's a very soft team. It's crazy.
But you take some of your physicality away when you give up running the ball, and the number of pass plays – after that second series where he missed the field goal. And again, here's another grievance, the kicking game. We can't reliably count on us making a field goal over 40 yards, 53 yards.
He made one, though. He did go 1 for 2.
Yeah, but how far was the one he made one, but was it 40?
43.
43. Okay. Yeah. So within 45, but the 53 was well short. It was straight, but it was well short. And so – kicking game. We talked about those concerns, and that hurt us. And we went for it on fourth down a lot because we weren't confident in our kicking game.
I thought that at the beginning of the game, Ty looked good scrambling, and he got out of the pocket a lot and escaped a lot of sacks. And I think he's got to learn how to play on the run, you know, making decisions whether to throw it or run it. But I mean, I'm not calling for Ty Simpson's head after that game. He played okay. I mean, he wasn't the reason we lost. He didn't turn the ball over 3 times. He did what he needed to do, but we asked for him. And Jeremy Bernard was honestly really good, but a lot to work on, especially on the defensive side. And I think that Kane Womack has shown that he can't stop a particular type of offense, and teams are going to look at that, and they're going to be like, we know what we need to run. They can't stop it to save their life. And we're just going to run that. Vanderbilt's going to do the same thing. So we'll see.
Hey, did y'all notice someone told me today, and I didn't notice this, but that we rotated in a lot of defensive players. Was that the case, Will? Did you notice?
Yeah, I saw Red Morgan out there.
We did.
Like, what is Red Morgan doing out there?
Yeah,
I just wondered. I mean, I know running backs, it's nice to get in the flow of the game. I just feel like defensive players maybe don't rotate in so often. Let's get a flow going and maybe – but unless
yeah,
they can't
I think
do
maybe
the job.
Maybe the only defensive position you could do that with is maybe D linemen, but like DBs and stuff, I think, and linebackers, I think you got to keep the starters out there for majority of it. You know, maybe for certain situations or whatever. But yeah, I saw Red Morgan was in there a good amount. I was like, I thought that he wasn't very good. I didn't think he'd get a lot of playing time. And then, one thing we actually haven't brought up is penalties. Penalties actually kind of
bingo.
Set us back.
That was my next one.
Back.
Penalties.
We go down there, 9-minute drive. I was like, I love this. Touchdown. Boom. We get them to like 3rd and 11.
Boom.
And incomplete pass. Here comes the yellow flag. Boom. Here it comes.
James Smith couldn't help himself. Holding.
And then they go on and score on another 3rd and 11. Have like a 50-yard pass. And then at the end, James Smith jumps on the guy. Yep. And just, I mean, obviously the penalties were not bad, or missed calls were not what lost us the game, but they did miss a few calls for.
But they scored on two of those drives, Will. They did score on two of those drives when those penalties would have gotten us off the field.
No, I'm saying that the refs missed some calls, like for Florida State. That kind of Ray Hubbard got held on that first touchdown, but obviously that's not why we lost. I mean,
and to piggyback on your comment about the defensive rotation, it's not like the time of possession was 40-20. I mean, it was even. And so it's not like we, you know, they've worn down everybody and we had to sub in for that reason.
Yeah.
Well, and if we've got great players, your starters need to play the majority of the game. And that was the Saban model. And these guys sub like crazy, almost like the second teamers play, let's say 60-40. And Saban was probably 90-10. If our starters are that good, they need to be in there the majority of the snaps. They need to be in there dominating. And if our second teamers are that good, maybe our starters aren't that good. So, but
back to what Gary said earlier, you know, about competence. I mean, I just don't feel like our coaches know our own personnel very well. For instance, Ryan Williams, he's a Lamborghini, okay? He's not a Ford Mustang, right? So you don't, in my opinion, based on what I've seen, and they've seen a lot more film of him in practice. They see it every day. He's not a great slot receiver. You need him out wide to go long. You need Cole Adams, somebody tough, reliable, and right there in the slot. And it's obvious Ryan doesn't like to run across the middle. He was nervous.
Oh, yeah.
I did hear today from a pretty reliable source that he's not healthy, even before the game started. I didn't know that. He has a hamstring issue. And I'm thinking, if that's true, this is from someone who should know, that's true, then we have like 7 receivers. Does he have to play if he's not healthy, especially in the slot? I mean, I don't know. I just think
he didn't seem to get the separation you'd expect given his speed either. So if he isn't healthy, what good does he do you? Because he's not big. His whole thing is his quickness and speed. And if he doesn't have that, you need to get him healthy. Take him out. Don't let him get more hurt.
Play Jalen Hale, Lotzer Brooks. I didn't see a lot of Lotzer Brooks at all.
No.
Or Jalen Hale, really. Where was Isaiah Horton?
He got hurt. He had that one good catch, and then they showed his ankles. So I think he got hurt, and you didn't see much of him because. And I haven't seen what the injury is yet. We'll figure that out later. But
back to the penalties, Will. Did you know? I heard the stat today. Y'all might already know it. That in every game, DeBoer's coached here at Alabama, he's had more penalties than the other teams. Every game.
It's terrible.
Or the same, but never less.
Crazy.
We were the most penalized. If not the most, we were definitely in the bottom 3 in the SEC last year of penalized teams, and we're on that trajectory again. And that's lack of discipline. And either you're coaching it or you're allowing it and not coaching it out of them. Either way, it's really bad.
Well, John, when James Smith fell on the quarterback, and I know that was kind of, you know, maybe a not so good call. I think Saban or any good coach would have him on the sideline and say, man, listen, you know, get in his head and say, what are you doing, man? That's 2 huge penalties. And there's no consequence, it seems like, to me out there. They're just doing what they want to do. And remember Malachi Moore last year?
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah. Terrible.
Come on.
Yeah,
Saban would even spank him once in a while.
Yeah. That's right.
I thought James Smith, that was inexcusable. The guy's down. I know that Castellanos was talking a lot of smack. I know you want to put the hurt on it, but he's down. You've got to know that. You can't do that extracurricular stuff. They're going to throw the flag. I thought it was a legitimate flag. Terrible play. That really killed us. We had a chance to get back in that game, and he does that. Yep. All right, my last one is playing assignment football. And how much of it is our players are undisciplined and how much of it's coaching? We're going to figure out, but that is my last grievance I want to air is we don't play assignment football. I think this whole swarm thing's gotten into our head, and we have triple options. The whole idea is to get people to swarm to the wrong player with that illusion, and then a guy breaks free because people aren't doing their jobs. And when you're dealing with this RPO triple option offense, that's the whole thing, is to get guys out of position in conflict and have two guys go to the wrong place, and all of a sudden, voila, you pop two reverses. You get a guy running free down the sideline on a wheel route, all of that, and just drives me crazy. All right, any other grievances?
Well, we need to change the name from swarm to something more, something nice and something sweet. What do you call a bunch of butterflies when they're all together?
A colony. Colony.
Weak.
The gallivanting defense. They gallivant out there.
Gallivanting. I like that.
Soft.
Yeah. The gallivanters.
Yeah. It's kind of skipping around.
All right, in our Festivus mode, have we gotten all of our grievances out? I've gotten mine out.
Yeah, I think so.
But I'm done.
Yeah. I'm with Rick. I have more, but I'm done too.
All right, I want to quickly run through the 10 plays that I think just doomed us. Play number one, Alabama's leading 7-0 in the first quarter. It's 3rd and 11 on the Alabama 49-yard line. Castellanos hit squirrel right for 40 yards. First and goal, FSU on the 9. And what are we doing with press defense on their fastest guy with no help on the top? Backbreaker. Any other comments on that? But that just, I'm like, you can't do that. You cannot do that.
So we're saying that the defensive coordinator on that play called that defense, right?
That's what we think.
That's terrible. Mm-hmm. That's terrible to me.
How do they not know this is Squirrel White? You don't leave him press coverage, single coverage.
With a freshman. What? I don't care.
Anybody.
With a true freshman.
Anybody. Do we have any defensive back that can run sub 4.3? I'm not sure we do.
Wow.
No. Don't got Deion Sanders back there, who I bet loved the game on Saturday.
All right. Next play. Second Bama possession. We go nine plays for 40 yards. It ended with a 53-yard missed field goal on 3rd and 13 after a false start. Simpson takes a sack to lose us 6 yards, so that 53-yard field goal could have been a 47. Just a negative sack play. What are we doing? Why don't we just run the ball or do something conservative, a quick hitter, screen pass, something, get some points on the board? Why are we doing that? And we could have screen passes, 10-7.
How many screen passes did we see yesterday or Saturday?
I don't remember any.
A fair amount, I think.
I think zero. And that's an easy – yeah, like you said, John, that's an easy play for your brand-new quarterback. And like I said earlier, knowing your personnel, we all know based on people who've gone to scrimmages that our kicking is not very good. So if it's 3rd and long, just get 6 yards and maybe you can go for it on 4th and short instead of having to go backwards and take a 53-yard field goal. Here I go, more grievances. Sorry.
Let it hang out. Come on, get it out. Serenity now.
Serenity. So when you start hearing the war chant, really start picking up after that missed field goal. They start feeling that, like, hey, we're going to win this game.
Yeah, I was talking with some people down there. I was like, I mean, what's y'all's outlook on the game? Are y'all like, think you actually have a chance to win? They're like, I don't know. We just kind of, you know, it's a big game. We're ready for it. We just kind of want to cover the spread a little bit. And I was like, oh, I thought that y'all would be like, you know, thinking that y'all could win. And they were like, nah, I don't think so, but we'll see. And a few of my few friends of mine got clipped on the way out.
The one-fingered salute.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it could have been me.
Guys, let's stay classy out there, Bamature Hour fans. No more one-finger salutes to the cameras. let's stay classy, please. Yeah. Woo. All right, y'all ready for play number three?
Yeah.
Another one. FSU's on their second drive, 7-all. 2nd and 7 at the Bama 32-yard line. FSU runs a reverse. that goes for a 32-yard touchdown. It's a reverse, guys. You have got to set the edge. You've got to be talking. When that guy goes in motion, people have got to be thinking there's going to be a reverse or a fake reverse, but the whole idea is to get the edge. You cannot do that. What are we doing? Again, players out of position, coaches, and so now they're up 14-7 with 9 minutes to go. Just, ugh.
Missed tackles too on that play. I think it was Saab that kind of deflected off the runner. I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah, Keon Saab.
Effort.
I believe my comment on our group text right after that play was, I hate Gus.
All right, next play. This is the next play. Bama goes 3 and out and punts on the third drive. They run 2 passes. And 1 run play after we had all that success running the ball. What the heck are we doing? What are we doing?
Nothing.
Well, John, you know, Daniel Hill did get in. You know, your bold prediction is he'll be amazing.
Okay, you're going to hold that one over my head.
Yeah, but no, you know, the first drive, he looked pretty good. And then Richard Young looked pretty good the first drive. And I felt like it was almost like Grubb said, okay, Richard, you're pretty good. You're pretty good. Let's go ahead and go to the third and fourth string guy too now. And I'm like, just let the guys get in a rhythm, man. Come on.
I thought Kevin Riley looked okay.
He did. He did. He had 3 runs and he averaged, or 4, and he averaged like 6 yards per run. Per run, he was the most effective.
Tuscaloosa.
We went away from the run. County what high the guy. Heck? Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Play to County High.
Y'all ready for the next one?
Yes.
Bama, first drive in the second half, goes 39 yards at 6 plays and turns the ball over on downs at the 36-yard line. No running plays, all passes. We get down there and just pass, happy. What the heck?
Yeah, is that the drive you're referring to where he could have run for the first down, but he threw it to Ryan Williams?
Nope. No? That's later. That comes later.
Yeah, Ty Simpson throws the ball 43 times in his first start. I don't know about that. That's a lot of attempts.
If I'm designing his drills this week, he's got to learn to throw on the run.
Yeah.
Because he was running all night. I mean, the pressure was just – I mean, we saw it on the group text, the stats, whoever shared that.
I think he did a good job of that, though.
Yeah.
But
he didn't put the ball on the money. That's the problem.
G money, he was not on the money enough.
No, it
was mostly under pressure. I thought he was pretty accurate and pretty good when he was able to set his feet and throw the ball. It was those pressure.
Bernard.
Yeah.
So, Will, you were there. So, my question for you, Will, is DeBoer said a couple of times, I think Saturday after the game and today in his press conference, that Ty just needs to let it fly. My impression is that there are guys open. He's just not throwing it. Is that what you saw?
No, not really.
Right.
I don't think so. There are maybe a few plays he could have. But he threaded the needle a few times, like on the goal line. But yeah, I didn't really see anybody getting wide open down the field except for Jeremy Bernard. I mean, Jeremy Bernard probably had 4 catches of 25 yards plus. But besides that, I mean, not really, no.
You know, and John, last year we said anytime you go deep to Ryan Williams, something good usually happens.
Yeah.
Either like a penalty. And sure enough, we throw to the end zone deep, and what happens? Another flag. I mean, you got to go deeper to Ryan Williams, I think, more.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say real quick, Rick, that comment, I didn't hear it. I had an 8-hour drive today, but it sounds like a trainer. I'm a big boxing fan, and a trainer, when their boxer's getting just killed and destroyed, they'll tell them, let your hands fly. Well, I mean, when you're getting dominated, you can't. 43 attempts. I mean, he let it fly all right. I mean,
yeah. And he did miss Rico Scott in the end zone for a touchdown on that one play. But.
All right, guys, here's the next play. The next drive, we go that, you know, 39 yards and 6 plays, turn the ball over on downs. And again, because we didn't have a kicker that we're confident in. So then the next play, Castellanos throws that wheel route to Jalen Lucas. And Same play South Carolina used. They didn't score on it, but it got them down the goal line. They scored the next play, and all of a sudden they're up 24-7. When we had a chance to go down and at least make it 17-10, if not 17-14, we come up goose eggs. Then they come right back, backbreaker. And how does our defense not recognize and not account for a fast back coming out and get an appropriate person on that guy and stop that play?
I think that they're just too slow and they just can't catch him. I don't think that.
Well, the linebackers can, but their safety, if you're playing a what is it, the 4-2-5 guys, there's five guys back there. You got to see that guy coming out of the backfield.
I mean, you got to have a QB spy on him.
Something.
You have to.
It wasn't the QB spy because it was the running back on the wheel route. But somebody's got to see that guy and account for, and it can't be our linebacker coming back off an ACL. He's slow. He can't run with the running back. So just brutal. And it was a great play design. They saw that in South Carolina. They saw that play. They picked it up and go, let's burn him with this. And it worked perfectly. Yeah. So, back-breaking touchdown. So, any other comments on that lovely play?
We've talked about it a little bit. I would just emphasize what you just said, John, and you got to tip your hat to Gus. I mean, Saban taught all his quarterbacks to say, we're here to take what the defense gives you. That's exactly what they did. I mean, they've been watching. And, you know, Gus is not up top. I mean, he was on the sideline, right? I mean, but he's communicating with people up top, and they're like, this is the play.
They had it waiting, and they drew it up perfectly, and we bit and executed it perfectly.
Yep.
All right, next play, pass happy, drive ends in a field goal. Alabama abandoned the rush, down 24-7 in the third quarter, and Simpson's feeling the heat, and it's possible that instead of coming away with 3 points, we could have gotten seven. And I'm glad we got 3 points and got it down within field goal range, picked up some points when we needed it, and we still had a chance. But again, the run was abandoned, and I'm just noting there wasn't one particular play, but just the whole drive is just pass, 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 pass.
Yep.
So here's the next one. Bama recovers the muff punt with 1:48 to go in the third quarter. I'm like, all right,
that gave me a glimmer of hope. I was, and I should never be given hope again. I was like, I mean, we were all going crazy. I was like, okay, all right, this could be it. And nothing, nada.
This is the play where Simpson's scrambling on fourth. And again, it was a pass happy drive. We didn't get any good runs, but Simpson's scrambling. And I guess because he had so much pressure, he could have run for the first down easily. And Jesse Palmer noted that out, but he chooses to throw the ball and throws it at Williams' feet, and he doesn't catch it. And we turn the ball over on downs and come up with nothing, where even a field goal there gets us in business. Just brutal, brutal situation. And I don't know. Speechless.
I mean, I can understand a little bit of, you know, you get down in the second half, it's kind of football 101 to lean on the pass. It just wasn't, I mean, his stats weren't terrible like we talked about. We just couldn't get it done. I mean, we just couldn't
get it in the end zone.
Exactly. Our red zone, we scored one time in the red zone, and that was on our first drive.
Yeah.
Well, we scored with Rico Scott on a very similar play to the
first. You're right. Yes. Oh,
that's right.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
But there were, I think, four other times we were in their territory and didn't come up with any points. So.
All right. The next play I want to note, Bama scores. It's 24-17. 11 minutes to go in the game. Stop here gives Bama the ball and a chance to tie the game. And this is the third and 10, and Bama gets the personal foul penalty because our unnamed defender – jumps on the quarterback after he's clearly down. Just unnecessary, excessive. I know that people wanted to put the hurt on Castellano, but we get the ball back 24-17 without that penalty and a chance to tie the game and pull this out. And guys, DeBoer has never in his Alabama history been down double digits in a game and come back and won. And we had a chance to do that here, and we blew it because our players aren't disciplined. The penalties out of control. They don't do their jobs. Just brutal, brutal.
Trying to make me think, has he come back from any deficit?
Georgia. Remember, we jumped on Georgia. They took the lead, and then we took the lead back, and then but we still almost lost.
But that was a 1-point deficit, though. But still.
We did. Yeah. We came back, and I guess so. And that's the only come from behind victory that I can think of that he's had here.
And yeah, the penalties are just again coaching. But like you said, Florida State's first drive, a penalty extended that. I think if we hold them three, it would have been three and out. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Who knows? Maybe Ryan Grubb feels like, okay, great. We just go methodical again and score 14 up. And then that changes the whole game. But the penalties are game changers. I think we had seven, right?
Seven, play. Yes. For 60.
Five of them were for first downs, I think.
No, it was 8 penalties for 70 yards.
How many penalties did Florida State have?
I think they had four for like 40 something.
Okay.
It's just, you can't do that. And then my last comment on these game-changing plays, and I think my point here, and this is the silver lining, 4 or 5 plays had gone differently where we had control of it. We could have won this game. But just poor technique, poor coaching, it just added up to a bad loss when it really could have been a victory for Alabama. Saban teams don't make those mistakes. Saban teams go down there and win this game. They don't do these things. And that's just how it could have swung in our favor. So the last point I had to make is on our final drive, it was pass, turn the ball over on downs.
Yep. Not good.
Well, hopefully we'll get some practice both running and passing this Saturday.
We better.
That leads me to a question for you three. Is there anything that Alabama coaches, players can do in the next 2 weeks, Louisiana, Monroe, and Wisconsin, that makes us think, oh my gosh, we are back?
The defense gives up 0 points in both games.
Yeah.
I would say the defense gives up 0 points this week, and against Wisconsin, less than 10. And we, you know, our offense scores 45. I think we'd feel back if that happened.
Yeah, we gotta win these two games convincingly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think so. And if those things happen, then I think that we have a shot against Georgia, and the rest of the outlook of the year looks better because it's a gauntlet. I mean, some of those teams that we said that might not be that good, i.e., a Missouri. i.e. a Tennessee, we're like, yeah, they're going to be okay. They looked good.
They will.
Even Arkansas, looked good. Everybody.
Well, that background behind you, do you think we have more or less fans than that in Upper Deck this weekend?
I mean, it's there's not a lot of people out there. I think it's about the same.
Yeah.
I hope we fill it up. I really do. I looked on SeatGeek when I was in the car. And you can get some Upper Deck tickets for $12 right now. That's
wow.
Yeah.
I hope the curiosity of to say, I want to see if these coaches can fix this team and make us better. I hope that brings the fans out. It is the first home game. DeBoer's won all his home games. So, you know, there's some optimism to be had.
What if we lose to Louisiana Monroe?
He's fired.
Hey, we did in 2007, remember? Saban lost to him.
Oh, woo! It will be an ugly, ugly
talk
Saturday
about a
night.
Flashback.
Yeah, really. All right, here's a couple of stats I want to bring up. Bama was 6 for 17 on third downs. 6 for 17.
Not good.
Wow.
I'll refine that stat. They were 1 of 5 when it was 3rd and 9 or longer. I mean, you wouldn't expect them to be 50% or anything, but just one. We made 1 first down on 3rd and that long. That's pretty bad.
Yep.
Next stat, 87 yards rushing. Some of it was they abandoned the rush. Some of it was, is our O-line not good?
55 of them on the first drive.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Next stat, Bama gave up 230 yards rushing to Florida State and Gus Malzahn. What else were we going to expect except for them to run the ball?
He only completed 9 passes, right?
Right, 9 yeah. for 12.
Amazing. Which kind of makes me think Florida State is so going like 8-4, 7-5 this year, and it's going to be a bad loss. It's going to rear its ugly head if we somehow fumble our way and, you know, can get to a playoff and we're, you know, up against, I don't know, like a Clemson who would have beat Florida State, and that's going to be the tiebreaker. You watch. It's going to be a bad loss.
One thing about Florida State is they are in the ACC. They don't have to run the SEC gauntlet.
I mean, they got 3 pretty tough games that they could very well lose.
Yeah, but they already
Clemson,
got
Miami,
one.
Miami, and Florida. They could lose all those games very easily.
You're right. You're right about that.
But, I mean, they only threw the ball 14 times. They're gonna come up against a competent defense. Right. And they're not going to be able to do what they did against us. And then Tommy can't do it.
All right, guys, see this? Taking this hat off. Now I'm putting on my optimist hat. Silver linings. Let's go, baby. Let's talk about some optimism, some silver linings from the game, and then what we think. Because it's only one game. The season is not over. We'll see what happens once we get to Georgia, but there's still – it's only one bad step. It's not 4 bad steps. So, one, somebody give me some optimism, some silver linings.
Jeremy Bernard looked very, very good. He's our best receiver. I'm out on Ryan Williams and his stuffed animal T-Rex and the painting of the nails and his new wave podcast with Dre Kirkpatrick Jr. And, you know, like we said earlier, it's not a conference loss. We could still probably lose 2 more SEC games and get in the national – not in the national, the SEC title. And then, you know, who knows? But you have to be good enough to get there and win that game also. And I think that, you know, Ty Simpson didn't play horrible. He wasn't, you know, throwing interceptions left and right. I think that he can take command of this offense. And he was one of the very few players out there that showed passion. He was scrambling for his life. He actually looked like he cared. You know, he was probably a little anxious or nervous, missed some throws, couldn't decide on things. But I think that Ty Simpson is not the main issue right now. So that's what I'm optimistic about.
Which is refreshing.
Good.
No, you got it.
All right, G-Money, thank you. So, I like Parker Brailsford. I thought he showed some effort on that fumble, and that was good. I thought our punter was pretty good. I thought our holder was pretty good.
Long snapper.
Long snapper was good. Punt I'm not so optimistic team, about our coaches, I'll be honest. I don't see much there to be optimistic about, unfortunately. And then I guess that's all I got, guys. Sorry.
G-Money.
I'll piggyback on Will a little bit. I think Ty's decision-making, yes, he should have run for the first down on that one play, but it's going to keep us in some games that we lost last year because of Milroe's decision-making. And I thought he showed flashes of elusiveness. It's like Bryce a couple of times. He would run – east and west behind the line, but he wouldn't run north and south. It's like, man, get the ball going forward. Mm-hmm. So I think he's got some potential. I'm sure he was as nervous as a cat out there, this being his, you know, first, you know, primetime game. And I'll also say this, there's an expression that necessity is the mother of invention. Our coordinators, and probably to a lesser degree, Coach DeBoer, they're feeling this pressure. And they want to keep their jobs, and they want the team to do well. I think they all deeply care about this team. And, yeah, you know, the question is, do they have the competence, like Rick was talking about earlier? And do they have the willingness to adapt and say, what we're doing is not working? And let's call somebody from Jupiter Island to come in for a little pep talk. How about that?
Yeah.
Or a little consulting. maybe come in and what about this? Have you thought about this? So
I know the perfect guy to bring in.
From His Jupiter, name's Nick Florida. Saban. That's right, baby.
He's still there. He's still around. He could.
All right, let me give you my dose of optimism. DeBoer goes undefeated at home. So that's what, 7 wins?
That means beating LSU.
That gets there, yeah. It does.
But they don't have the running quarterback, and we hold them to like 6 points last year.
Yeah.
So that's my thing, is that it's you can't just look at the whole roster and, you know, the ranking. You have to look at scheme and how they run their offense and who we're, you know, built to go up against. So I think that they play right into our hands on that.
It also means beating Diego Pavia. It also means beating John Mateer, who is a true dual threat quarterback. But we go undefeated at home. DeBoer continues that. So that gets us to 7-1. So then that leaves 4 games. If we go 2-2 and split on the road in the SEC, that potentially gets us to the title game and gets us on the bubble. And maybe somehow our coaches grow. I'm not going to throw the towel in on Grubb yet. I'm not going to put Grubb in the Kane Womack. And if I'm DeBoer, I am up Kane Womack's fanny. And I'm in that room, and I'm, what are we doing? And why do we not have multiple schemes and multiple looks? And, you know, why are we getting toasted by dual-threat quarterbacks? And let Grubb do his thing for the next 2 weeks and get ready for Georgia. That's my optimism, is that we can go 2-2 on the road, go undefeated at home, end up 9-3, and we're on the playoff bubble. So that's my optimistic note.
Yep.
Well, you're going to need a team other than the one that showed up Saturday for that to come true.
And I'll also say something, like, when we would lose under a Nick Saban team, there would still be hope after the game. Kind of, it'd be like, oh, okay, there was a little fluky something, or, you know, some bad calls our way, but we still know that we're Alabama and we're back and we're okay and we still got Nick Saban. After this loss, it did not feel that way. It felt like all the hope was gone. You know, like when we lost to Ole Miss in 2015, everybody was counting us out. We were like our underdog against Georgia for the first time in forever. We go down there and beat them 38-10. Like, I'm not optimistic that we could do that to other teams. So I think that's the main difference.
So what are you optimistic about?
I'm not optimistic. Unoptimistic. Yeah.
All right, guys. Looks like I'm the only optimistic guy here.
I like your optimism, and I think the splitting the road games is not inconceivable. But it's
inconceivable.
Well, I said I think it's not inconceivable.
I know. I love that line from The Princess Bride. Inconceivable. For those Princess Bride fans.
But my optimism, to the extent I have some, is springing from the players we have.
We do have a great roster, and hopefully those guys take pride in what they do. And want, because some of these guys that were being projected as first and second round draft picks, their draft stock has dropped.
Is there an option to take away NIL? Is there an option to take away money from people? I think that might be on the table.
Or coaches.
Your money's gone. See ya. Yeah. You don't get paid a salary until you beat Vanderbilt again.
I've got a great idea. Well, you sue one of the players in small claims court, you'd make national news, you get interviews on ESPN. Come on, go for it, man.
I could start a fight somehow. And then,
All right, guys, that's all I've got. Parting shots, Will K.
It's pretty bleak.
All right. Parting shots, Dr. T.
First game is November 5th. Alabama basketball plays.
When did Alabama turn into a basketball school? Is that this year?
And I hate to say it, I'm not sure how good we'll be at basketball this year either.
Maybe it was Gary, but I think they've already desabanized our program in 14 games.
Yep.
G Money, parting shots.
Parting shots. When the sun goes down a week from Saturday, the Crimson Tide football team will be 2-1.
Good. I like it. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. Subscribe, follow, like, and hit the notification button on the podcast wherever you stream us. Roll Tide and God bless.